Hi, it's Brandy Cruz. I hope you enjoy this bonus podcast. I delivered the following remarks to the Kitsap County Lincoln Day Dinner in Bremerton, Washington on June 2nd, 2023.
It is really an honor to be here tonight, particularly so because my friend, the late Dory Monson, was here as your keynote last year. Yeah. Miss him every day. Huh. Dory was truly one of the last genuine watchdogs of government. And I will tell you, he took the responsibility very seriously. He was fierce. He was fair. He was unflinching. He did all that and still managed to be funny. And Dory knew that without a robust fourth estate, the government would naturally separate itself from the people. And we see that happening already. So I actually wanted, and so I brought my drink. Hold on. I wanted to propose a toast to our friend Dory, if you could, to who he was, to what he stood for, and to his belief that it takes every single person active to keep our government of the people, by the people, for the people. To Dory.
Dory.
When I'm invited to speak at events like these, there are always a few people in the room confused why I'm here. You can raise your hand. Are you confused why I'm here? Go ahead. I'll try to convince you. Oh, how old are you? You're confused for other reasons. He's like, I don't know what this is to begin with. There is certainly a segment of Republicans in Washington state who don't understand why a self-titled moderate independent who has been critical of the former president, critical of his claims of a stolen election, would be invited to speak as a keynote at a Republican fundraiser. There are those who don't believe that I am conservative enough to deliver a message to a conservative crowd. And there are critics on the other side as well. I was told by multiple people, maybe you heard this in my podcast, I was told by multiple people that I should not be here tonight. That there would be a J6er in the room? I already met him, don't worry. I even hugged him, okay? Don't tell the Seattle media. I was told that the county party is too extreme and that it will hurt my credibility and my public image. As you can see, I'm here anyway, mostly because I don't give a damn about my public image anymore. Yeah. But I also don't see extremists in this room. I see a room full of people, my fellow Washingtonians, who despite our occasional differences, share one very important foundational belief, that more freedom is always better than less. The theme of tonight's event is Let Freedom Light the Way. And in some ways, I was born and raised to talk about this very theme. Constitution is the first word my dad taught me to spell. I know that's a little weird. He was a weird guy, okay? But I still remember him reciting each letter to me and then making me recite the letter back to him. C-O-N-S-T-I-T-U-T-I-O-N. C-O-N-S-T-I-T-U-T-I-O-N. I recall a picture that I drew when I was pretty young. I think my mom still has it tucked away somewhere. I wrote the word Constitution in crayon, and then I drew a big trophy next to it. I could probably look back at that now and think, okay, maybe I didn't really understand what the Constitution was. But you know, when I really think about it, the Constitution is a trophy. It is a prize. So maybe I understood that better when I was a kid than I give myself credit for. Now, my dad was a troubled man. He died a few years ago, homeless after a lifetime of addiction and mental illness. But he was also incredibly smart. He was wise, and he was complex. And in the past couple years, especially through the pandemic, I've started to appreciate and understand better some of the things he used to say, some of the things that he taught us as kids. My dad wrote a lot. And what seemed like the writings of a madman to me growing up are suddenly so meaningful. Well, at least some of them, because some of his passages were a little crazy. We were given his day books and his journals after he died, and one page on his calendar read, "Got shot today, 4 tubes of super glue later, all good, effed up my favorite pants. So let's just say not everything he wrote down was profound, but one page in his journal that I read after he died, he'd written down a quote from Frederick Douglass. It reads as follows: "Those who profess to favor freedom and yet deprecate agitation are men who want crops without plowing up the ground. They want rain without thunder and lightning. They want the ocean without the awful roar of its many waters." In reflecting on those words, I'm going to admit something to you for the first time tonight: that I am genuinely embarrassed by some of my early coverage of the pandemic. How I lost sight of our most unalienable right, liberty, and how I used my platform to encourage other people to lose sight of it as well. I have a lot of shame over that. For example, when hundreds of anti-lockdown protesters first marched to the Capitol in April of 2020, I offered a commentary on Fox 13 on the Sunday show that I hosted. I quoted Patrick Henry's "Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death," and I told viewers, quote, "Maybe right now we should focus on staying alive and fight for freedom from within the safety of our own homes." It's like the meaning of Patrick Henry's words were completely lost on me. And then early in the pandemic, there was an interview I did with King County Executive Dow Constantine, where I was almost urging him to arrest people who were violating quarantine. And in hindsight, that is so deeply mortifying to me. And I think my dad probably rolled over in his grave during that interview. I'm not sure at what point my mindset changed. I think it was probably somewhere in the summer of 2020. And I will tell you that I have tried ever since to make up for those positions that I took on TV. In fact, the government's handling of COVID is one of the main reasons why I quit my job in TV news in 2021. The Fourth Estate was floundering. It was failing in its core duty to hold the powerful accountable. Even when presented with new evidence that vaccines would not stop the spread of the virus, hardworking Washingtonians, lifelong public servants, were being stripped of their livelihoods. And many in the media were unbothered by it, uninterested in highlighting the clear logical and scientific inconsistencies. And then, of course, there was one man rule, 975 days of it. 975 days of it. During which time, the closest representatives of the people were all but cut out of decision-making during one of the most complex crises in our lifetime. Again, too many in the media just accepted it as necessary, even as the months and years dragged on. If there was ever a time, I thought, for the power of a free press to show itself, it was then. And if not then, it is now. Increasingly, I will say, there is a willingness to allow the erosion of our freedoms if those freedoms are being taken away by people we are ideologically aligned with. Gun control is a good example. Let's take the latest ban on so-called assault weapons. Now, I oppose the ban. It's not because I'm a gun person, I don't own a single firearm, but because it violates the only thing that guarantees our basic rights as Americans, the Constitution. Still, whenever I say the word, automatically my brain goes C-O-N-S-T-I-T-U-T-I-O-N. Maybe I was born into a cult, I'm not sure, but a constitutional cult isn't so bad. There are many who seem perfectly fine with the erosion of Second Amendment rights because they are not exercising those rights themselves. What they fail to consider is that a government willing to take away one of your rights is only emboldened to take away others. I would ask those who support limits to the Second Amendment whether they would support the government passing limits on other amendments. How about the due process given to us by the Fifth Amendment? Should we further limit that? Or the protection against cruel and unusual punishment in the Eighth? Should we let the government make some exceptions? Or the Third Amendment, the quartering of troops? That's an amendment written at a very different time in our country. Maybe we should just do away with it and hope the government doesn't get any ideas. How about the amendments that guarantee women and people of color the right to vote, or the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery? I mean, we're well past slavery, right? Surely we don't need that one anymore. I think we can all agree that while those amendments were written at very different times in our country, they were written and ratified for good reason. I often hear the argument that the Second Amendment wasn't written for modern weapons, that muskets aren't the same as an AR-15. But the same argument could be made for the First Amendment, written at a time when a free press only sent out articles in print. The First Amendment doesn't mention social media or radio or television, but it doesn't have to, because we accept as a society that free speech and freedom of the press is all-encompassing. Why then, I would ask, do some reject that when it comes to our right to bear arms? In fact, my reading of the Second Amendment is that people should have access to any weapon that the government has, that being the only way we could successfully rise up against a tyrant. That being said, I have made the case before that I would actually be okay with changes to the Second Amendment if it is done in accordance with the Constitution and the will of the people. It is a difficult process. It is an arduous process, as it should be. But the Founding Fathers put that process in place for a reason, so that our fundamental rights as Americans would not be subject to the whim of political parties or to the constantly changing periods of public opinion. People who are so eager to see the rights of their fellow Americans whittled away would be wise to consider what rights of theirs could be taken next. Again, there seems to be a willingness to allow the erosion of certain freedoms if it's being done by politicians who we are ideologically aligned with. We sometimes lose track of our moral and logical consistency when it gets wrapped up in ideology, and both sides are guilty of that. How can someone who supports the government mandating vaccines argue for a woman's right to choose, and vice versa? If you support freedom and individual liberties, how can you oppose the freedom of people to love who they choose or to marry who they want? If you want the government to stay out of your homes and out of your parenting, then can you truly support governments that ban parents outright from deciding whether their child, in consultation with a doctor, can get certain types of care? You see, freedom can have different interpretations, and that's where things get tricky. That's why we have to fight even harder for the freedoms we might not understand or we might not agree with, such as the freedom of a high school football coach to kneel on the 50-yard line and pray after games. I shared this in common with my friend Dory Monson, coach, and I think you know well that it's not a practice I particularly agree with. But there are places in the world where practicing religion in the wrong place or in the wrong way will get you persecuted or even killed. In America, you have the right to fight for your freedom if you feel that it is being infringed. In fact, you can plead your case to the highest court in the land, and you can win. Or you can lose. But at least you have the right to fight. And when you fight for your freedoms, as you did, you are fighting to protect and expand everyone else's freedoms too, even those of us who might not appreciate or understand them. When Glenn Morgan, who I was very pleased to meet tonight, exposes what the government wants to hide, he's doing it for everyone. He's even doing it for those who voted for the politicians at the center of his stories. When representatives Caldeer, Couture, stand up on the floor of the House to fight for parental rights, they are doing it for all parents, even those who seem perfectly fine with the government's creeping intrusion into their households. When you fight for freedom, you fight for everyone's freedom. Today, I understand better than ever why my dad drilled the word Constitution into my head. You just want to say it with me? C-O-N-S-T-I-T-U-T-I-O-N. Sure, maybe it was because he was a little bit of an odd duck, but he knew the importance of it. And he wanted me to know the importance of it too. He knew that no matter how hard his kids worked, how smart they were, how sound of character, it wouldn't matter if they weren't free and if they didn't value that freedom and if they didn't fight to keep it. I didn't understand or appreciate that lesson then, but I do now. Just like I didn't fully appreciate the importance of those who were fighting for our freedoms in the early days of the pandemic. I didn't appreciate or understand that then, but I sure as hell do now. And I know now that they were fighting for me too, even if I didn't see it at the time. So for every one of you in this room who is committed to expanding our freedoms and our liberty, know that that is a worthy fight. Not everyone in this state might appreciate it, but perhaps one day they will. And just know that as long as freedom is lighting your way, you can be sure that you are on the right path. Thank you very much, and thank you for having me tonight.
If you enjoyed the message of that speech, consider becoming an Undivided subscriber and joining us 5 days a week for the Undivided podcast. Help us grow this mission and this movement to give common sense a comeback. Visit UndividedPod.com.